him. Well, good evening, good evening again. You may be seated. Tonight we wrap up Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 24 and the book of Luke. You know, and as we wrap this up, if you remember last week, Jesus' awful death had taken place on the cross. And at the end of that, we found that because his death was so close to the Sabbath, they did not have time to properly bury him as far as the preparation, even though Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had went out and got permission to get his body, they didn't have time to do all the necessary things. So now we find ourselves in 24 picking up on what we call the Sunday morning experience, you know, because they didn't do all that they needed to do on Friday evening or afternoon. Then the women took it upon themselves to go to the tomb to properly prepare Jesus' body for burial. And so when we pick up today and see this encounter with these women and the angel at the tomb, keep in mind, even though they were going back and the women were faithful enough to go back to prepare his body, they didn't go back with the expectation that he had risen from the dead. Even though we're going to see here, they knew that, but just like the disciples that we saw in John, because John focused a lot more on the disciples' response than the women, because Luke writes specifically about the women, and Matthew also talks about the women. And so when we see this here, we got to see that this thing about Jesus' resurrection was not something that was easily received. Even though he had been telling his disciples, telling these people that what was going to happen, they just couldn't wrap their mind around this thing called the resurrection. You know, and it's, you know, it's kind of like some things that we come encounter with in the Bible that sometimes we read it, but we just can't wrap our mind around it. We walk around it and talk about it, you know, but we really can't wrap our mind around it to the point that we can just talk with authority and boldness that we really believe that, like we can convince somebody that we believe that. You know, even for you, for right now, if I was to ask most of you, how could you convince somebody about the resurrection? I mean, your resurrection. If you're trying to convince somebody that, hey, one day this body gonna just die, because all physical flesh gonna die. But then we believe that there's something after death. Because a lot of people believe that, hey, you know, when you're there, you're gone, you're done. I mean, just go in the grave, however you go, it's done. But we have a deeper belief that there's something after this. And because we have that belief, we have to believe so strong that we can convince others. Because in the natural, it don't make sense. It don't even make sense to all these people who walk with Jesus. And we're going to see this, and we saw this pattern in other gospels. So y'all wrap your mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Y'all think about that. He says, then early on Sunday morning, say, somebody say Sunday morning. For us, Sunday morning is what? The first day of the week. You know, and the way it was counted in Hebrew, you know, that was the beginning, because the seventh day would have been Saturday, which was the Sabbath, you know, the day of rest. You know, they worship God and they rested on the Sabbath. That's why some people think we got it wrong, because we worship on Sunday. Based on the calendar, we just went with the first day of the week, the day that he was resurrected. But really, we can have church any day of the week. You know, I don't think he's so upset if we decide to have, you know, we're going to have church on Friday. Y'all wouldn't show up, but we could go to that. Say we're going to have church on Friday. You know, so it's not, especially not Friday night, but we could have church on Friday. But because we worship on Sunday, you know, we have to honor that day, and we have to defend that and say, okay, yeah, Saturday may be the Sabbath, but the first day of the week he rose. And so therefore, because of that, we don't see nothing wrong with worshiping him on the day that he rose. Because it says, this was early Sunday morning. The women went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, they went there again, not with an expectation that he was going to be gone. They went with the one expectation that, hey, we brought all these spices, these herbs and stuff. We want to get his body properly perfumed up so that he would have a decent burial. Because, you know, back then, the Hebrews or the Jews were not embalming.
Right.
They weren't as sophisticated as them Egyptians who figured out how to embalm. They weren't doing that. And so, therefore, that's why in some countries, even now this day, they bury folks before sundown. You know, they don't hold, you know, in America, we hold bodies for 2-3 weeks. You know, yeah, we do that. We have the capability of that. But some countries, you know, by sundown, you're going to be in the ground. Amen. Because they don't prolong that because at that time, they didn't do the proper thing to allow a body to be preserved for 3-4 weeks because they didn't embalm. And so therefore, you have to kind of keep this in mind. So that's why the preparation was so important.
But Pastor, they,
yes, for that.
Okay. Mary and Martha said to Jesus, my brother is sick. Please come and heal him. And by the time they get there, don't pull a stone away. He's already stinking. See, we live in Florida where there's heat and humidity. All it takes for an animal to be, he can be round over today in the morning. By this evening, you smell him. So this is the thing that, you know, the preparation they're trying to do, they're trying to hurry up and get to him before he smells too bad.
Uh-huh. And so when we see this, and understanding the culture, it says that when they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now look here. So they stood there puzzled while they standing there, because you know, in their mind, they ain't thinking he done got up. You know, they just standing up, what is going on? What has happened here? The first thing out their mouth, you know, wasn't, oh man, the Lord has risen just like he said. We happy. No, they standing up puzzled because we came looking for somebody dead. We didn't come looking for someone that was alive. He said, then two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robe. Now, the other gospel gives us the impression that Matthew and John's version let us know that these were angels. They consider these two beings angels that was there. And when they saw these angelic beings, you know, most places in the Bible where people come in contact with angelic beings, they're always in awe. They're always standing in awe and they stand like they're fearful because apparently, I don't believe these angels look like the ones we consider angels. Ain't look like, what's her name, Tinkerbell? Is that little angel that fly around? You know, we got these pictures that we created of angels. They some nice little creatures that, you know, just look so cute. But these must be some pretty awesome beings, you know, for someone to see them and be in awe and knowing him in fear. And so the Bible said, look, they were puzzled that two men suddenly appeared to them in dazzling clothes. The women were terrified and bowed down their faces to the ground. In other words, they did show them reverence and respect. They humbled themselves because obviously they realized they were seeing something that was not normal for them. And so now look at this. They asked the men, the men asked, talking to them, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Man, that's the question that has been a powerful and amazing question throughout the years. Everybody want to know, you know, why are you looking for someone who is alive amongst the dead? Obviously because they didn't expect him to be alive. They went there looking for somebody dead. They went there to prepare a dead body. But the angels let them know that, hey, look, you guys are looking in the wrong place. And so what we got to see here is that Jesus kept his promise that he told his disciples, but even though he repeated this over and over and over again, we just see the same pattern. Some folk just don't get it because they get taught it. I mean, there are some people that come to church every Sunday and hear the same words over and over and over again, and the light don't come on. They go out and do just the opposite of what they've been told. And when someone asks them about what they've been taught, they can't even explain it, can't even justify what they have learned. Because a lot of times nowadays, we're going to see here in a minute, Jesus keep referring back to the scriptures. We don't come to church most of the time to hear the scriptures. Today, we want someone to pick a scripture and then entertain us, give us a good show, and just talk about something that may or may not relate to the scripture. But we're going to see here that when we come to church, we ought to be expecting the scriptures. You know, early on, when I think in Luke, when he went into the temple, the Bible says he opened up the scriptures and found the place where it talked about himself. During that time, church service was the reading of the word, the scripture. Wasn't all this stuff that we do in church. They came and the priest opened up the word and started reading. You know, if I came and opened up the word on Sunday and just started reading, y'all be sleep happy y'all by the time I get to it. Y'all ain't conditioned to come and have the word read to you. Because you want to be preached to. You want to be entertained. You want somebody going to have inflection in their voice up and down and give you some stories to go along with it instead of just reading the scriptures and let the scripture do the talking. It's when we add to the scripture that make it confusing for folks who come to church on Sunday. Because we preachers do have a tendency to use our own analogies. Sometimes those analogies don't necessarily line up with the... That's why you got to know what the Bible say, not what Pastor Bolden say. And as long as he's agreeing with the Bible, you should nod and go along with it. But when he says something, I'm giving you an analogy and don't line up. You don't say amen. Don't encourage me to keep lying. If I ain't lining up with the... Somebody said scriptures. Did y'all know the Bible was scriptures? You know, we carried around, you got it on your phone. It is scriptures. And so therefore, it's important for us to come to church looking for a healthy dose of this scripture. Now, we have a tendency to pick one scripture to start the sermon off, you know, as a foundational text. But the sermon got to include some more scriptures. We can't just get here and talk about the market and other stuff that's going on in the world all the time and don't talk about the scripture. So that's important. Hold on to that. And I want to challenge you, though, because I know y'all listen wildly now. Y'all listen to a lot of folk out there. And y'all probably clap and dance to some of them, too. And they ain't said nothing about the... Y'all just go back. Just listen to your favorite people who you listen to now. And see how often they read this. See, without the scripture, I don't need to study. I know enough about human nature to speak to your feelings. And I know words that move you, that can make you want to cry. All I got to do is just dream up me a tear. I feel something in here. I ain't got to read the Bible. I ain't got to study to say that. I feel something. Listen to preachers on TV and see how often they say, I feel something. Moving. But when you feel something, it ought to be in response to the scripture. Not because the keyboard started playing. Because music will move you. But music is not scripture. And if you don't understand the keyboard, even though it may be trying to play a song that got scripture in it, it's just noise to you. So we have to make the scripture the main thing. Amen. And unapologetically striving to the teacher ministry. So when you come here, our ministers ought to at least open up the scripture. They may not go through the whole Bible, but in their sermon, they ought to at least talk about four or five scriptures. Because that's what you come for. I guess you do. I'm hoping y'all here on a Wednesday night. So do y'all agree with the word? Is the scripture the important? Amen. Go ahead, Mother Major.
I was just going to say, too, if you study the Bible, I mean, you study Scripture, It means different things depending on where you are with your walk. I mean, you can start, you know, reading / studying the Bible, you know, 1 year, and then 2 years later, or, you know, however long later, it may mean something totally different when you read it again, or when you read it and understand it, depending on where you are with your walk.
Amen. What happens is that as we grow, we get a better picture of what God is trying to paint. We can go a little deeper than just surface level text. Sometimes, you know, if you're growing, you want to look up certain words. You don't just want to read the Bible. You need to look up certain words and see what those words meant when it was written. Because sometimes words that we use today didn't necessarily mean the same thing back then. And so, therefore, it's important for every now and then, if you got a good Bible, you know, or you got a good study apparatus, whether it's an app on your phone or computer, you ought to be able to click on something and say, what did that word mean in the Hebrew or the Greek? Right. And how are we using it today? Now, we take a lot of the language of the Greek and we use it over in English, but you need to know the root meaning of some of these words when you read the Bible. Yeah. It's important. Because the disciples were learned. Jesus spent a lot of time teaching them. But we're going to see here all that teaching, some lesson they still did not get, even though they had heard it several times. So that's why I don't have a problem with repetition. Repeat certain things over and over and over again, because folks just don't get it the first time. And when I was an instructor, now I don't know if the scientific data is still there today, they told us that, you know, once you teach a student something, within 72 hours, they done forgot 70% of what you told them, if they don't go back and study it again. So that's a good possibility between Sunday and now, y'all done forgot 70% of what Ernestine said. It's a good. I can see y'all minds working right now. What did she talk about on Sunday? You know, I'm trying to pull that thing back up. Why? Because you didn't go back and listen again and study what she. You know, can you hear me now? You know, she talking about hearing and the difference between hearing and listening. Yeah. And then she told some stories. Growing up. So it'll come back if you kind of talk to yourself sometime, and that's what you have to do with this word. You're going to have to meditate on it. You're going to have to rehearse this word back to yourself. You have to speak this word. Yeah. Brother Hur?
Yeah. Her.
One of the things that come to my mind is live a worldly view or live a biblical view point. And then to me, it sells to me is to live a biblical view, you know, biblical life or view life, instead of live a worldly view life. And so in order to live a biblical view life is to study the word. You have to live it. And so I think that's, to me, that's what emphasizes importance for any Christian is to live a biblical life.
Yeah.
Viewpoint.
And again, I love reading good books. And I don't have a problem with a good book study every now and then. But every now and then, the study ought to come from the Bible. I mean, we ought to take the times that we're going to just open this Bible up and we're going to see what the Bible say and then go out and find what commentaries say. But you're going to find out when you study enough, you'll come up with your own commentary. Yeah. After y'all read the passage of scripture, y'all going to put y'all interpretation on it. Jesus told the disciples, you heard me say this, but now how do you read it? How you understand it? Because however you understand it, that's how you're going to present it. That's why we got to dig deeper and deeper into God's word, because what happened is when you study this word, you can see a certain pattern. So when there's some doubt in your mind, did God really mean that? But because I done studied him from the beginning, and I saw how he acted and how he did things in Genesis, and when he was dealing with the prophets, then when I get a little question about a passage in the New Testament, I can go back and build on what he has done in the past, say, it's a good possibility that he's going to be consistent. And even though it don't specifically say that, it's a good part. I got enough evidence to believe that if he's done that five times, he's going to do it the sixth time. Even though it don't specifically say that in the text. So we got to make the scriptures the main thing. I ain't give one amen right there. That's a good place to say amen. Y'all here on Wednesday night, y'all got to say amen. I'm giving y'all getting all the breaks tonight because, you know, y'all here for the scriptures. Now look at this. Let me read on because I got to get to that. I got to that point too quick. He says, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember, somebody say remember. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. So Jesus had already made this known to these women. He said, now look, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third. That third day keep coming up, don't it? And every time, man, you can't tell the story without talking about the third day. Anybody that get up and preach the resurrection and don't talk about the, you know, when God keeps saying something on the, every time, the third day, that must be important. You know, if you go back and study, now people have tried to figure out the significance of it, but you know, somebody may be talking about new life taking place on the third day. When you go back and look at creation, God started creating things that lived on the, Jonah was in the whale for, you know, so that may be some significance to the third day. You know, if I get bold in theology, I may say, may tie to the Father, Son, and the. So we can make them threes work. And if you was want to study that, all you get, they got programs that they're not to say, okay, show me the significance of three in the Bible. And they show you every time, where in the Bible three appeared. And you can see, is there a pattern? What was happening when this three showed up and this three showed up? That's why we come to Bible study, so we can go a little deeper. And you know, he said, now look, so he says that he will rise again on the third day. Then they remember when the angel told them all these things that kind of made sense. Then they remembered that he had said this. They rushed back to the tomb to tell, they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. We talking about witnesses. We talking about testifying to folks what the Lord, what they know about the Lord. They ran back to tell. We leave church and don't tell nothing. Amen. When you come in here tonight, you learned something. You're supposed to run out here and tell something. The gospel is good news, and we're supposed to be the one that's sharing the good news. We got to tell the story. But now, if we don't know the story, we can't tell the story. But if we're fearful, we're not going to tell the story. Man, you can't be ashamed because the gospel's going to offend some folk. You got to tell them to. Amen. And I mean, you ain't got to be, you know, mean to people. But man, when you get an opportunity to tell the story, you can't tell it if you don't know the story. Amen. Brother Fred?
I think it's a lot easier to remember something when you hear it and really believe it. Since they had never seen anybody rise from the dead before, it could have been that they didn't really, really believe that this was going to happen. Because a lot of times when we really believe something, I think we have a tendency to believe and remember it more.
Okay, well, you know, Jesus had raised Lazarus. They had a testimony. But still, some people just didn't get it. And so what I'm trying to tell you, we can know something, but I'm agreeing with you to a point, Fred. We can know certain things, but it don't necessarily mean that we're going to believe it to the point that we would share it with somebody else. Because to them, it may sound crazy. To us, we think it makes sense. But if I think it's going to sound crazy to you, then I may be afraid to tell it to you. That's why I got to wrap this story up in something that's relevant to myself. Then I can share that with somebody else. We're going to see here in a minute. All y'all should have in a few minutes. Y'all hold on that thought. Because, Phil, I'm going to ask you, what's your story? Jonell, what is your? You sitting up here on a Wednesday now, all of y'all. Y'all should have a. And your story becomes your testimony. Because can't nobody tell it like you. Amen. Brother Mike?
Lazarus, but they didn't have the word. The story of Lazarus happened in Bethany, and all Jerusalem didn't know it. There was not news everywhere. Not everybody heard it. Now we know it because it was, the Bible is written, so we could read it. But that not necessarily means that they knew that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. So like Mr. Fred is saying, it's a possibility that they didn't know. Yeah. I've never heard.
Well, you know, Mike, and I agree with you to a point, but some of his disciples knew it. People that follow him knew it. And they still had a hard time believing that he was going to do it.
Uh-huh. But Pastor, he took Peter, James, and John with him when he was going to the high priest, when a woman sneaks up behind him and touches the hem of his robe. This little girl still dies. And he goes over there and he takes his boys with him and says, look, put everybody out the house. And he takes this little girl by the hand, and she comes from dead. And go and feed her. She's hungry. They're walking down the street, and there's a funeral procession coming down the road from the woman's name, and he just touched the casket, and the boy gets up. So he's seen where people who were physically dead come to life. But I think the part of it is trying to imagine in our own minds, can he do that for himself? Because I put so much trust in him, and I thought that the kingdom was going to look different. And I saw him die. And we were expecting to just be ruling and everything is going to be good. And there's a whole lot of what Jesus was preaching that they didn't understand the concept.
Okay. And let's read on, because we're going to see some things here that the Spirit is going to reveal. He said, now look, after he's talking about the women who came back to tell the story, he says, it was Mary Magdalene. Most of y'all know her story. She's there, you know, she's the one that had the demons. Jesus cast the demons out of her. So she came a loyal follower. Joanna was married to somebody kind of wealthy. She was a well-off lady. Mary, the mother of James, and several other women. Now, I think that's significant, man, that all these folk that go looking for Jesus first are women. I know we don't like to give y'all credit for a lot in church, you know, but at least we got to give you credit for looking for Jesus first. Had the desire to go. Because the boys were hiding right now. They were scared. Now, and that's why I ain't got no problem with God using a woman to go and spread the gospel. Because, you know, they was the one that was looking for Jesus, and they found the good news, and they came back and tell the boys, and guess what? The boys thought it was nonsense. Some of y'all think women talking to y'all is nonsense, even to this day. Y'all can let everybody talk to y'all till a woman starts talking to you, it's nonsense. She ain't making no sense. It's nonsense. Major, that's you too. You ain't like that, are you, Major? You don't think that any time a woman talking, you know she's talking none. I didn't want to start that, Major. I just asked the question. Because some brothers still caught up into that, you know, like these guys. They didn't think that they could believe the testimony of women. Because women couldn't even, in the Jewish system, couldn't be used as a witness. So now here these women coming back with this powerful testimony. He said, man, nonsense. Don't make no sense. Finley, I'm telling you right now, you're married. So don't ever tell Jonell. That's nonsense. You better find a nicer way to say that thing. You know what I mean? You better try your best to understand what she's saying so that you don't have to say, look at me, baby, that's just But look at this, let me read on, because it said, But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. So they didn't believe it. They refused to believe what the women said. However, now you know Peter's different. He always wants to check out things. But Peter was different because he felt the most guilt after Jesus' death. Because he had denied him and all that. So Peter really wanted to find out some things. But this is his nature. Everybody else was sitting around. So Peter jumps up and run to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrapping. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Now, by him wondering what had happened, you know, again, he knew he was gone, but he didn't blatantly say that he had been raised. And so what happens is when you read other books, because they didn't say these things early, some people put a narrative out there that someone stole his body. That is easier to believe than the fact that his body was he was raised from the dead. It's easy to believe that. That makes sense to the natural mind. Somebody stole the body, man. They went there. They just stole the body. They got in cahoots with the Romans, paid somebody, and they stole the body. And well, they didn't never find the body like they found everybody else's body. So they must have threw him in the Dead Sea somewhere so we couldn't find him. And somebody said, yeah, that makes sense. That's a better story than he rose from the dead. They stole the body. See, we can't believe they stole the body. We got to believe what the scriptures say, that he was raised from the dead. Even though logically stealing the body makes sense. But we got to believe that he was raised from the dead. Now look at this. Verse 13, this is the encounter with Jesus have with the followers on the road of Emmaus, on the Emmaus road. Now look here. Somebody say, the same day. So that means it was still what? Sunday. Still Sunday. All day Sunday. Still Sunday. The brother was still in that church mode. They leave in Jerusalem, got church on their mind. You know, I believe when we leave church, we turn church off. And it's still Sunday. Y'all supposed to be thinking Sunday all day because it's the Lord's day. But they got a sale in Panama City. And I hope Pastor let us out of here because I need to get over there and get that sale. But it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's day. You know, back in the old days, you couldn't shop on Sunday. The United States respected Sunday. But someone figured out that we will spend money on. And now it looks like Chick-fil-A is the only folk that still honor. You know, it's amazing that that's a day that they could probably sell a lot of chicken. But because of their belief that Sunday is a special day, they shut down. And guess what? They're always in the top 10 of sales. They've been number one or number two. Even though they closed on. Some of y'all have passed out of Walmart and some of these malls closed on Sunday. I grew up with that. Some of y'all ain't never experienced no shopping on. If, you know, you just didn't even run out of gas on Sunday, man. You'd be out there. But nowadays, Sunday is just like any other day. But guess what? You can go to New York right now on what is Delancey Street up there where they get all them good deals at. Or we go down there to buy all that apparel in the Jewish community. Guess what? On Saturday, they close. They don't care about your money. But guess what? They will open back up on. And we be right in there buying. They close on that day, open on our day, and we go and buy. And just say, no, we ain't buying. We're going to buy on Monday. We may get your stuff, but we're going to wait till at least Monday. We have been conditioned to minimize the Lord's day. Brother Mike?
Yes, Pastor, I understand what you say in the Lord's day. But Saturday is a Sabbath. They have a Sabbath. So they hold to the Sabbath. We don't have a Sabbath. You see, we worship the first day of the week. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath given to the Jews, and the Sabbath didn't start until after Moses. Abraham didn't have a Sabbath. During that time, there was no Sabbath. So the Jews have been keeping the Sabbath, and they're loyal to it. But the Sunday, we worship on the Sunday, which is the first day of the week. But we do everything on the Sunday because we don't hold as a Sabbath. So this is a clear difference as to be having a Sabbath and their worship.
But Mike, I think they take that from Genesis, because on the seventh day, he rested. And so they honored that, and throughout Scripture, they have honored that. The Jews honor that, but not just Jews. There's some Christian faith that people who say they love Jesus that believe that Saturday is the Sabbath. Yes. And it is. I'm not arguing that point. I'm not arguing that. Still the Sabbath. But for some reason, under the Julian calendar, we chose, because, you know, they did. He rose on the first day of the week, and then, you know, Paul told the Corinthians, I think it was, on the first day of the week when y'all get together, right, take up an offering for the other churches. So that was a pattern that the Christian church started to worship on a Sunday. Now, yeah, when it started, we can probably research, but I didn't go that deep to try to figure out when it happened. But we stuck with it now. Unless Pastor Bolden get a divine revelation and finish, say, Pastor, I heard the same thing from the Lord. We need to go and start worshiping on Saturday. 10 o'clock Saturday morning, I want to see all y'all here. That's the new worship day. That'd mess up some golf time, wouldn't it? That'd mess up some things, right? I believe we could do it. We just have to make some give Finley a mic. Yes, Seventh-day Adventists, they still honor the Sabbath, and that's part of a major part of their teaching. I mean, a major part of their teaching. You know, that's something that you got to embrace, because you're going to hear that often. It's almost like, hey, this is doctrinal, and if you don't accept this, you're going to have a hard time, because you're going to hear it over and over and over again. Yes. Finley, go ahead.
So I understand what you're saying, though, with, you don't got to do all that, with what you're saying with how Sunday, you know, it's basically like a light switch on and off. I get your point with saying that, but the way I kind of look at it, you know, it's, number one, you got, you know, your own upbringing, you know, like for my own self, my dad, we went to church on Sunday, and then, you know, we'll watch, you know, New Orleans Saints in the afternoon, and, you know, then do some stuff around the house. So is there an issue with that? Because the way I kind of look at, you know, the day is kind of what Mike's saying, the day of Sabbath, you know, day of rest and restoration and worship, you know. So is there an issue with that type of mindset? Because that seems to be, you know, that's the way I was kind of raised into it. But I never really thought about this is the way how you really should be doing it on the Sabbath day. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on how should you be doing it on the Sabbath day?
Okay. I don't want you to get caught up on Saturday, Sunday, Sabbath. Just say your day of worship, whatever day that is for you. For us, we're going to say we all agree that we worship on Sunday. Then how do you see Sunday as a worship day? Do you see it as only a time from 10 to 12, and after that, my worship of God is over? Or do I still believe that I owe God some more worship or some more time after I leave church on Sunday? Have I just blocked off this period of time? Whereas the Jews, for that Sabbath, it was the whole time. From sundown to sundown, they honored that. That's why I told you last week, they wouldn't even walk so far, the priests and rabbis would not walk but so far. So we would have to ask you this. I would say, Finley, now that we know Sunday has been commercialized, are we willing to take the Chick-fil-A approach? Don't go to Walmart, nothing on Sunday. This is the Lord's day. I done went and got the word today. I'm going to meditate on this word. I'm going to go eat dinner somewhere. But I ain't shopping. I ain't doing nothing for no leisure. I ain't finna go out there and hit the club Sunday night. You know, we used to club on Sunday night. I guess Sunday night ain't club night no more. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm out of touch. I'm out of touch. Y'all get bring me back to reality. We party Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amen. Sunday night. Yeah. No, praise the Lord. They don't club no more on Sunday night. I'm happy to hear that news. That's good news.
No, I was gonna say it's Thursday night now.
They start on Thursday. Well, yeah, we had happy hours. We had happy hours on Tuesday, Thursday to get us out there, get us started early. But Philly, you asked a good question. So the individual question to each one of you is, how do you see worship? And how do you see Sunday as a day of worship? Can you see it like the Jews saw it? Or like Seventh-day Adventists see it, that it's such an important day that this is God's day. And, you know, I understand I got to eat, I got to do certain things, fellowship with people. But my focus on this day is going to be the things of God. Now, we don't want to make the day so that we can't do good things, because that's what the Jews did. When Jesus did a good work on the Sabbath, they got all upset about it. He said, you know, he was the Lord of the Sabbath. So I don't think God got a problem with us doing good deeds on Sunday and things of that nature. But we got to ask ourselves, what does worship mean to us? Does that just mean from 10 to 12? And after I get out of church at 12 o'clock on Sunday, I don't have to listen to anything else that pertains to God. When I'm believing that when you leave here, you ought to be waiting for the podcast. So when Marcus dropped that podcast, you turn it on your phone and start listening to that sermon over again, because you didn't get it the first time. But we leave church and probably go back to listen to whatever we've been listening to in our car. And I hope that, you know, whatever. I ain't got no problem with you listening to music-wise, but it's just a matter of, how do you want to see the day that we consider the day of worship? That's all I'm trying to say. And I would have this same question if you worship, say, Thursday was your day. Okay, how do you see that day? Is that a day that you set apart and you're trying to keep it holy? Because the Bible told them, remember the Sabbath. And keep it holy.
You know, Pastor, just like you said, society has changed. As a young boy growing up, you'd be in church Sunday morning, there'd be a program that afternoon, and you still have Bible study, or there'd be a service again that night at 6 o'clock. So it wouldn't be anything that a person would come to church that morning and don't leave till 8 o'clock that night and go home.
That dog don't even hunt no more.
I know.
That dog don't hunt right now.
That's how society has changed.
That's just a change. I got by that. You know, man, I could just imagine, man, the Lord say, look, Sunday, you know, we're going to start having Sunday evening worship services. Yeah. It's all right, long as ain't football season. Some of y'all. I mean, football season, got football, my God, during that time. Pastor wanted to come back on a Sunday night service. Going to interfere with Sunday night football. So what you going to choose? You going to choose football over God? Well, he ain't have to do that. That's just man talking. He just a man. we don't went to church for 2 hours. Now he want to come back on Sunday night. But like Brother Anthony or somebody said, in the old days, you expect that. You went to church knowing you were going to be in there 2-3 hours. Sometime all day. They had dinner for you and all that. But nowadays, during that time, we didn't have Walmart. We didn't have 24-hour stores. You couldn't go to the mall. So church was a nice hangout. Now we got things that have distracted us so that we get out of church. We can almost treat Sunday just like we treat Saturday, with a few exceptions.
But Pastor, a lot of times on those all-day churches, your body was there, but your mind wasn't even on church because you didn't really want to be there, but it was kind of obligated to go. So you might as well stay home.
Well, I mean, you was in the midst. You know, something could have fell off on you, friend. I mean, I'd rather have you at church than at home drinking moonshine. You know what I mean? I'd rather have you at church rather than being at home doing something crazy. You know what I mean? But you're right. But I don't know, Fred, because when we used to stay in church all day, they kept us. I mean, you had to be locked into what was going on. It wasn't like I was there thinking about something else. Because, I mean, we were involved. People giving testimony. People doing a lot of things were going on. And we really was conditioned not to even worry about the time. I mean, it wasn't nothing. We ain't got to go too far back to when I was first, I say. Even in striving, that was the time when our church service was 3 hours long.
So Pastor, what would you recommend, you know, well, you know, after this, you know, we're having this conversation, you know, you see. So Well, what would be recommendation? You know, I think you saying, you know, listen to the podcast. You know, because I wasn't raised to, you know, and to an extent to like keep, I want to say to keep being aware, but this is like our routine when I go home. We do this, we do this, we do this. And, you know, you kind of open my eyes into, you know, a different realm. So I'm just curious, on what's your recommendation for how you should spend the day?
I would recommend, this is just my recommendation, because back in the day, this is what we drill this in. After the service, you ought to at least listen to the word over again. Take that 45 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever. And even back in the day, I used to preach an hour, 15 hours, 20 minutes, easy. And people used to call and say, I don't know how somebody sitting there listening to your daddy all that time. Well, you know, you make the word interesting to people. Now, someone went to sleep. Everybody that stayed awake. Some people were watching the clock. I know it. But that wasn't going to make me cut the word short. But now what has happened is pastor got scared. Because the new generation said, look here, we ain't buying that. We got TikTok, we got all this out there, and I can get my high in 60 seconds. And now you're going to get a minute, think it's going to take you 60 minutes? So I've adjusted, but I'm still long-winded. Because I like teaching, and I like the word. So Finley, I would say to you, if nothing else, listen to the word over again on Sunday so you can get it in your spirit. Be like a Berean. Leave church and go and study what was said so that you can make sure that you understood what you heard. I recommend that. And back in the day, man, it was common for us. Because, man, that was back in the day when we had cassettes, man. Cassettes used to leave here like I don't know what, man. We had to go get us one of them quick, rapid cassette making machines. Because folk were popping out of here with them cassettes. And we didn't sell out at first. No, we started selling, then we said, the word ought to be free. So we just started giving them away. And members was listening to them. So now we don't have cassettes, but we got a podcast. We got it on our website. You can go back and listen to sermons that you heard Sunday, a month ago, even probably a year ago, they're still out there. So I would say you got to do more on Sunday, in my opinion, than just come to church. And when we say amen in church, your mind is no longer on God right now. Now I'm out of church. I'm transitioning over to something. Even if I'm finna transition to dinner with my family, I ought to be transitioning to thinking about God. It's still a Lord's Day. Okay, sister, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I missed your hand. Did you? You got a mic?
I heard you talking about the cassettes, and I was sharing with my neighbor about Striving and how good it is, and come to find out, he used to get the cassettes, and he was asking me, how can he get cassettes if y'all still had them? So, by the way, he look at it online. But it, what I'm saying is that it's amazing how the cassettes, he wasn't never a member, never even came to the church, but he know members. Those cassettes was out in the community, probably more than you know. But as you were talking about the word and we talking about the worship and Sabbath, you know, the enemy will let us sit here and talk about all the things like that, long as we don't talk about the foundation and the true scripture. He tend to get us off track so we can concentrate on things like that so we lose focus of the foundation. And so to me, when I think about the scripture, I don't just cut it off when I leave here. Because if I cut it off here, it's about like a soldier going to battle without his weapon. If I don't keep the scripture with me everywhere I go, I mean, I'm not talking about the word, no book. I'm talking about in my heart. Mm-hmm. And when I leave here, I intentionally find somebody, one of my family members, somebody on the prayer line to share what the word was on Sunday and Wednesday so I won't forget it. And I catch myself thinking on Monday morning, what was it about? What was it about? Because the enemy come to steal that word before it can take root. Because that word is so powerful, that's our weapon against him. And it's not these things that we're talking about on Sabbath and doing this here stuff. It's the foundation of God's promises that he's God and he say he'll never leave us or forsake us when we're in those dark moments. And when we don't know if we're going to pay our tithe or not, he's God when we struggling to pay our tithe and offering. He's still God, And that's those promises that we got to, we have to stand on.
Amen.
And thank you for that about the scripture, because it reminded me I need to stay grounded in it.
Amen. So let me read on, because we're going to get interesting here in a few minutes. Because now we see Jesus from the encounter these two followers on Emmaus Road. The same day, two of Jesus' followers, they were not disciples of the 12, but these were people that had started following him, must have been loyal. They were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. So they're on their way back to home. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, talking about all the things that had taken place with Jesus during the Passover, the fact that all the beating and all the things they experienced, all the buzz that was going on in Jerusalem, they were just discussing, having a deep conversation about all the things that had happened to Jesus. He said that as they were talking and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began talking to them. Now, the thing here we have to accept, but the Bible said, but God kept them from recognizing him. So there's been debate out there. What did Jesus look like when he came back after his death? So many say that he had a glorified body. He was still fleshly, but he had the ability to do things now that he didn't do when he was walking, before he was raised from the dead. So now you can go do some study on that, and you'll get probably 5 or 6 different opinions of people trying to tell you, but I just like to say God kept them from recognizing him. How he did it, God did it. And he's capable of doing it. Then says, he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as they walked along? Look here. They stopped short. Sadness written across their faces. You know, I tell y'all this all the time. This is one of those points that we were preaching. We'll stop right here and tell y'all that you need to learn to read folks' faces. I think Ernestine tried to say that on Sunday. Didn't she say sometimes most people speak to us through their body language and their expression than they do their words? Sometimes their words don't match what their face look like. And then that's when I'm believing, read the face. Don't let the words paint a picture that the face don't depict. The face is probably going to be more real than the words. See, we come to church and we won't even look people in the eye and talk to them. Because we so quick and so fast trying to get here, trying to get there. Instead of talking to people sometimes and looking them in their face. And then read what you see. Because he stopped short. Because he said, look, sadness was written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleophas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. How in the world? This has been big news. This has been breaking news. This is worse than terrorists. This is worse than terror. This is worse than the other day when the market fell 2,000 points. Bam! That was breaking news. The day it went back up, though. Some of y'all say, amen. Amen. But he said, look, how in the world can you be living in this region and have not heard what happened in the last 3 days? And so Jesus going to listen to him. He said, now look, what things? Jesus asked, the things that happened to Jesus. Well, they didn't know they was talking to him. The man from Nazareth. They said, look how they described Jesus. They didn't even get the big picture. He was a prophet, true, who did powerful miracles, true. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. They knew all of that, but they still didn't see him as a risen Savior. They heard a lot. And some must have heard that same thing. But now, do you see him as a risen Savior? Because all that's part of the story. So now look, here they kind of condemn their own folk. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. In other words, he said, even though the Romans was the one that carried out the execution, it was our folk who turned him over. And look here, We had hope. So now when I hear this, we had hope, that means that that hope now has dissipated. We had this expectation. We thought he was going to be that Messiah that's going to come to town, deliver us from these Romans, set us free and all that. We had hope. But man, when we saw that dude die and then now be put in the grave somewhere, we ain't have no expectation that he's going to get about that grave. We had hope for him to come and deliver us, to set us free. But when he died, that hope went away. You can't give up hope. Amen. I mean, you got to hope against hope sometimes. When things don't even look like it's possible, you got to still hope. Because if you walk away from hope and faith, then guess what? You'll walk away from this gospel. So therefore, faith and hope work together. Faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. So faith and hope work together because faith make me keep hoping. Because I'm hoping for something. If I got it, I don't need to hope for it. Hope is always based on a future expectation. So I have to have faith to keep believing that in the future, what I'm hoping for is going to come to pass. But if I lose faith, then my hope is going to surely. They said we had hope. He was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened how many days ago?
3 days.
3 days ago. Everybody got the same story about them 3 days. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. Now, these guys go tell what the women said, but they don't really believe it themselves. They said his body was missing. They said it was raised from the dead. They heard missing. They said it was gone. They said missing. And they had seen an angel who told them that Jesus is alive. Now, look at this. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone. Just as the women had said, they keep thinking about the missing body instead of the living body. Then look what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish. That sounds kind of rough, man. He just said, y'all don't get it. Y'all just don't get it. You foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the word. That's why you need your Bible when you come to church, on your phone or somewhere. You need access to the scripture. Now, we put them on the board behind us, but it's good for you to have some in your hand, your scriptures. And you know, used to be a time when we came to church. You know, when I grew up, first of all, let me say this. When I was in my church as a child, we only thought the preachers carried Bibles. Because everybody else just walked in church. Ain't nobody had no Bible, even though we had them in the seats. Ain't nobody opening up. They just wait for Reb to get up there and tune it up. We know he's going to tell us a story. We know he's going to give us 3 points, and he's going to sing. That's all we want. We ain't need no Bible for that. And we know he's going to close the same way every week. Well, Moses at the Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den, the 3 Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. But I'm working my way back to Jesus now. I'm going to get to the cross. But I'm going to take you through the whole thing. And if you don't know those stories, you ain't never read those stories, it's just good music to you because they tune it up. They make it real. And by the time they finish, you shout. You don't even know how you shout. You don't even believe the resurrection, but you done shouted on the 3rd day. You know, they say, on 3rd day. And then sometimes we can gargle with, ah! Now, all that is for effect. Ain't nothing spiritual about that. That's a learned behavior. Amen. And if I practice enough too, I don't practice the hoop a little bit, but I wish I could, because I wish I could have stuck with it. Because I think if I could hoop just a little bit, y'all would be tearing the house up on Sunday. Y'all would be all over this place, because you know we'll make this thing real. But I'd rather just kind of take it and read it to you. And if I get happy while I'm reading it, it's going to be this. It ain't going to be like I'm playing my hoop out. Because I ain't got no hoop. Break out a hoop one Sunday. Okay, but anyway, I ain't knocking that. That's just good, good preaching that people do. So now, but all that the prophets wrote in the scripture, now look at this, whether it clearly predicted, it was written that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory. Now look at what Jesus did. Then Jesus took them through the writing of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He took them back and showed him how he fit in the Old Testament as well as what he was doing now. That's why if you go to seminary, they say, hey, if you study the Bible long enough, there's what they call typologies. When you study the Old Testament, there are certain people in there who were types of Christ. They did certain things, like Joshua. He was a deliverer. He was a type of Christ. So therefore, when the psalmist talked about certain things, they was talking prophetically about Jesus. The prophets, sometimes prophets like Isaiah talked about Jesus. So you can see he's saying, hey, look, all these scriptures that was written, they was all leading up to me. I was a star. Amen. And so when you go to church, Jesus got to be the star. If you listen to somebody online for 45 minutes and they don't mention Jesus' name, something wrong with the message. It's not about him, it's about them and what they want to get you to feel instead of teaching you something about him. He took all this time to tell them what the scripture said about him. So you better go make sure that whoever you're listening to other than Pastor Bolden, that they at least introduce you to the scripture. You got to know what the Bible say. He says, by this time they were near Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going away, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. So he went home with them. Now get this. Man, them scriptures must have lit them up. I mean, they got so excited about hearing that stuff. These folk that came back for the Passover. And probably now they got an understanding what the meaning of the Passover was, even though they had been taught that probably most of their lives. And so now he done made some connection for them and connected some dots. And they said, hey, look, it's nighttime. Why don't you, stick around? So look at this. As they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it. That's another little point there. Before you eat, bless your food. I know sometimes you get in a hurry, hot hand burning, and you still trying to eat it. That ought to be a sign. Bless it. Let it cool off just a little bit. Amen. I mean, this is something that we got to do intentionally. If we don't bless our food, man, I'm silly enough to believe that sometimes you go and bless your food and somebody eat the same thing and they get sick and you don't. I'm just silly enough to believe that. I ate at that same restaurant. Somebody told me they got toenail poison out there. Man, I ain't feel nothing. No, you just lucky. No, I blessed it. Now, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you ought to bless your food before you eat it. Give God thanks for it as you should give him thanks for all things. Then he broke it and gave them. Now look at this. When he did that, they weren't even in the upper room when he had the Lord's Supper with the other disciple. But suddenly God opened their eyes and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Gone. Then look what happened. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained man, sometime when you read this word, your heart ought to. When you get a revelation of what God is trying to get you to see, your heart ought to. And it ought to burn without Pastor Bolden telling you, do you feel something? I feel something off of me. You don't feel nothing. You ought to feel it when you read it. I don't need to tell you to feel it. These guys say they burn. Some of y'all just don't even know what it would feel like when your spirit just burn Because this word done revealed something to you that you didn't see the first time you read it. And now, man, you just... See, look, here, when you start burning, certain things happen. We ain't burning. We want to come to be excited. Let me finish this, Mike. Don't matter. I'm on a roll right now. Because I've been waiting all day to get to this point right here. Because I got a question. I got a question. Because look, he says, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, these guys tired, they walked, they hungry, they've been there all day. They went. Boy, that'd be like, man, I got such a powerful word. Pastor, I'm ready to come. And not only that, I want to go and tell other people what I understand now, and I'm willing to lead church and just share this good news. Good news is something that we ought to share with people once we get a revelation of what God's word is saying. Man, when this word hits you and it burns in you, you ought to be willing to tell somebody about it. It burns. And look at this. He says, now look. Jesus, look here. Where was I at? 11, da da da. Oh, okay, let me have 33. And within the hour, they went on their way back to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. So this don't account for Peter's, but the other gospels show that Peter had an encounter with Jesus. Some believe, you know, Peter, because he was the most hurt of the disciples, Jesus wanted to mend that relationship. And so the women, Peter and John, had that encounter with Jesus after his resurrection. Then look at this. Then the two men from Emmaus, Finley, what did they do? Uh-huh. See, I told you I was going to get you, Finley. I told you, I gave you a heads up before I got here. I told you I was going to get here. Then the two men from Emmaus, what? Told their, all of y'all got a story. Just a matter of when you're going to tell it. You got to tell your story. You got to share. Your story is your witness. Your story is your testimony. You got to tell what was your encounter like when you met Jesus for the first time. When you, I ain't talking about when you going to church and Sunday school and your mom and dad and them took you there and you didn't really get it. But I'm talking about when you really had that encounter with him, you say, man, Jesus is real. I am really trying to embrace this belief of the gospel because I now know that he is real. And I know the exact time when certain things start happening in my life when I say I'm finna make a change because that's my story. So all y'all got a story. If I hadn't been talking so much earlier, I was going to make some of y'all just get up and tell your story tonight because if you can't tell your story, then you ain't got a story. I got a question. What do you know about Jesus? If you ain't got a, all of y'all ought to have a, as I'm standing here speaking right now, the spirit ought to be running through your little head and you'll be saying, man, if I had to get up, this is what I would say about my encounter with the Lord. I remember on this day I was doing this and I heard this word, I heard this happen, or a friend came to me and testified about something and boy, I started burning. And the next thing I know, I started wanting to change my life. Your story. They went back overtime, Major. They went back to play. That'd be like Pastor Bo said, y'all come back here on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And we just going to spend some time, y'all, telling y'all just 2 hours of testimonies. I don't want, you know, what he did last week. I want your story from when you first saw the light. When you saw it and say, man, I really believe this thing called in Jesus now. I really believe this gospel. And I believe, man, the Holy Spirit will reveal to each and every one of you because I believe all of you got a story. The world done told us you got a truth. I didn't even know anybody had to tell me that. This is my truth. I ain't got no problem with your truth. But your truth, when you're talking about scripture, got to line up with this. Yes.
I'll tell my story a little bit, share something with y'all that God delivered me from. One that I had was I struggled with, and it was a shame for me to say it for a long time, was I struggled with pornography, to be honest with you. And I think that's something that he delivered me and I could talk about a little bit. Because whenever I had dreams about thinking back to that stuff, I can't see. I've had dreams where I've seen screens from watching that stuff, and I can't see the screen as blurry sometimes. So that's something he delivered me from, and that was something that kept me from serving, because I just felt so ashamed to go up there and try to tell people about this when I'm still struggling. But I know that he loves me regardless.
Amen.
And I'll talk about it because I'm not ashamed of it anymore.
Amen.
I've been delivered.
Amen.
So I'll talk about it.
Amen. Yeah. We overcome by our testimony. People overcome when they hear us talk about what God has delivered us from. And you can't be ashamed of where he brought you from. Amen. All of us got a struggle that we had before Jesus. And we can't come here and sit down like we are holier than thou. Man, some of us just wretches undone. Amen. But then now, that is not that's who I was. That's not who I am. So I am who he say I am now, even though in my past I did some crazy stuff. But we're going to see here. Look here. He died so that you could be forgiven for all the crazy. Yeah. Guys, that's powerful, Jesse. I mean, yeah. And that you know, you're going to deliver somebody else who's going through that right now. Somebody listening online, they're probably going through it right now. And thinking that there's no way out of pornography because it's everywhere now. You just hit the wrong key on the web now, and anything's something to pop up on your computer. You out there looking for something by Mickey Mouse, and you know, bam, something pop. Whoa, where that come from? You know, you're trying to find Mickey, and all of a sudden you don't find that. And if your spirit ain't right when that happened to you, and you done been there, it'll take you back. But you got to say, I've been delivered. I ain't going back. God has delivered me from something. And so therefore, we have to walk in that deliverance. Thank you for the sharing that. Thank you. Because they told their story. And then just as they was telling it, Jesus himself suddenly standing among them. Now he with all the group. And he said, peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled. They were caught off guard and frightened, afraid. They were thinking they were seeing a ghost. So look what Jesus had to calm down. He said, so why are you frightened, he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Then he had to give them some physical evidence. Some people just ain't going to believe certain things to you. They waiting for evidence. But that ain't what faith is all about. But he said, look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and feet. Still they stood there in this. Now that disbelief there was not talking about faith. That's like saying, I'm seeing this, but I'm really having a hard time believing it. I got faith, but man, I'm seeing his hands, I'm seeing his feet. I'm seeing it, but I'm having a, because it's going against everything I've been told. But eventually, because I see it, I'm going to accept it. He said, they stand there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked him, do you have anything to eat? And the Bible says, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Now look at this, where he go back and give them a lesson. He got to school them. These are his disciples. These are the boys that was close to him. And maybe he got to take them back to the, scriptures. Look at this. Let me show you this, and I'm going to close with this. He says, and when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. I told you these things were going to happen. Then he opened their mind to understand the, not the latest news report, but the scripture. You come to church to get your mind open so that you can understand the. And if you listen to somebody 45 minutes and they don't talk about the scriptures, then you're in a wrong, you're in the wrong place. You need to get out of there. Amen. You didn't come to church. Oh, that was a good word today. What did he say from the scripture? That was a powerful word. What did he say? Man, I give you some powerful pontification without even studying the scripture. And have you really weeping and crying and here carrying on. Because I know how to speak to people's feelings and emotions. That's a learned behavior. All you got to do is take psychology 101, a little bit of that. It'll tell you that certain words you can use that'll move people. Certain topics that you can take. You're going to always can touch somebody's feelings. You know if you got 500 people in the room, somebody having a problem. I don't need to be no prophet. If I got 500 people here, 200 are married, somebody having problems in their marriage. And that's just me understanding how folk are. But if they got 15 teenagers, some of them have a problem with their children. Amen. I don't need no deep revelation. I don't need to study that. I just know human nature. Teenagers are going to be teenagers, even if they belong to church folk. Oh, pastor was deep today. No, I just understand how folk operate. Now people walking through leaving, oh, he spoke to my feelings. He spoke to that. He hit me right in the heart when he was talking about my children. Well, I was going to hit, I knew that. I knew I was going to hit somebody in the heart. Because I know how teenagers treat the family. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm telling y'all too much. Let me read on. I hope y'all don't get nothing else out of this lesson tonight but the word scripture. You go to church to hear the scriptures. So he started to explain it to them to help them understand scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer. You see the whole message right here. This is the gospel right here. Suffer and die and rise from the dead on the... Good God Almighty, Finley, how many times have you seen third day in this one chapter? So when you walk out of here, if you don't know nothing else, you ought to know, man, there's something about the. And you know what, Major? The third day, which was, became the first. Some of y'all didn't get that. The third day became the. Because Sunday, even under the old system, was the first. Wow. The third day. It was also written that this message, well, look at this, look at this. This ain't too hard, but I hope y'all get this one too. It was also written that this message, now hold on to that thought, this message, because you got to tell you what this message is. This message will be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Well, what's the message? There is forgiveness of sin. Jesse, you ought to be glad that that's the message. That there is forgiveness of sin for all. No matter what they've done, and the sin's plural. No matter what you've done, people need to know there is forgiveness. That's the message. Y'all don't forget everything else I said. Y'all just hold on to that one nugget right there, and you can help somebody who's going through the same thing that you've been delivered from. They need to know that there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. And he said, now look, you are witnesses of all these things. Now I will send the Holy Spirit just as the Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fill you with power from heaven. In other words, y'all been scared. But now when this Holy Spirit come on you, he's going to empower you to go out of it. That's why from this now, I know all of you hadn't been here, but we done read pretty much the whole New Testament. That's why the book of Acts is so important, because that introduced the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. So this connects to what that, because the same writer of Luke wrote the book of connecting knowledge. So he told him to stay there and wait. And then after that, Jesus ascended. Look at this, going back to heaven. I'm done. He said, then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting up his hands to heaven, he blessed them, spoke a blessing on them before he departed. While he was blessing them, he left them and went and was taken up to heaven, ascension, going back to where he came from. So they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. They spent all of their time in the praising God. Good God Almighty, all I ask y'all to do is come to church for 2 hours and praise God. I ain't say all your time. I know I ain't going to get all your time. But man, can Pastor Bowden just get 2 good hours out y'all? Y'all the Bible study crew. Y'all have been taught. Y'all have been educated. On Sunday, we got to set the example. We ought to be able to get 2 good hours out of y'all. When y'all come in here on fire on Sunday, it's going to spread to other folks. All I'm asking for is 2. And I'm sure Calvin going to have some for you on Sunday. So come with an open mind. And Calvin, I hope you're listening. I hope you open up the scripture, Calvin, because they've been taught tonight. They want to hear some scripture. They don't want no pontification. They want some. He coming behind this. He's probably tough to be coming behind this. I got to give him a call about Calvin again. I done set you up, man. You done already texted him. So you better come with some scripture, because if you don't, Finley going to know. Hey, he didn't give up a 1 scripture. I'm just joking, but Calvin, I'm glad you sent me the text. I'm calling myself Calvin. And Calvin is a student of the word. I mean, so Calvin, I ain't worried about that. But just in case, y'all have been taught. And so now that you have been taught, man, we got to understand that it's important for us to also praise God. Man, even in the midst of going through things, we got to still praise him. That's part of what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. I hope y'all was blessed by the lesson tonight. This is the end of Luke. So